Patriots Friday on WEEI is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market and by FindMassMoney.gov.
Is it Alex's decision who the starting quarterback is?
It's between Alex, myself, Elliot, and the rest of the offensive staff. I think our goal is to put the best team that we can put out there.
Yeah, have you guys seen it the same way, do you think, to this point in the summer?
I think so. I think, you know, look, I think anyone can see the confidence growing in Drake. Anyone can see Jacoby go out here and, as a total body of work, do a good job. So we'll see how it goes.
So who's even making that decision? Something we discussed in Triple Play. Something we talked about all week here on WEEI. Jones and Arcan today. Taking your phone call, 617-779-7937. Are we going to Arcan-splain later? We are, right?
Oh, we're Arcan-splaining today. And it's a topic that I'm very excited to discuss.
Yeah, this seems, it seems right up your alley,
it
this
is.
Topic. Yeah.
It really is, and it's topical. It involves us, kind of, and, you know,
well,
us in terms of, like, the company. Right?
Well.
Kind of. I said kind of.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Well, in some ways, yes. Yeah.
In some ways.
Yeah.
It
does. That's true. That's true. Fair point. Fair
it's
point.
A big, big story today. Let me just put it that way. It's basically the biggest story in the world.
I was surprised intern Jacob, who might be listening on his way over to Fenway Park, I was surprised intern Jacob was unfamiliar with it.
I was astonished.
You'd
by
assume
that.
How old is he? 22, something like that. You'd assume a 22-year-old living on the internet. You'd think this would come across their radar.
This 42-year-old who lives on the internet. It's been all over my radar. I'll tell you that.
No, again, I'm not shocked by that. But we'll get to this phenomenon that's taken over the internet, and it's a good little feud. Good little feud that we'll get to in Arcan-splaining coming up. All your phone calls here, 617-779-7937. I've asked this periodically, Arcan, throughout the course of the offseason, and I think now that we know he might not even make the call on who the starting quarterback is, and now that he has all these, I think, weird coaching philosophies that we continue to hear about, we'll get to more of this pre-mortem versus post-mortem coming up later on in the hour, but how are you feeling about Jerod Mayo at this point in time? I know you felt better about him early in the offseason. I got called out for this earlier today. Like, Jones, you wanted Bill gone. You have to be happy with whatever, which I just reject. I don't have to be happy with whatever just because they moved on from Bill. I am happy they moved on from Bill. Mm. I'm not happy with the replacement. I think both those things can be true. How are you feeling about Mayo at this hour?
And at this point, I'd say my trust in him is probably around like 30-40% about that. You know, I think that he's still someone that the players all seem to like, and he does command the defense, I would think.
That sounds like a drop-off from where you were, though.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, early on in the season, I think it was early on in the offseason, I was just a little more optimistic, I guess. But as it's sort of drawn on, I don't know. He hasn't done a lot to really inspire that much confidence. He hasn't said anything that's really got me, you know, pumped up and thinking, okay, this guy's really got a plan and things are all going to go well. It sort of seems like he's along for the ride in some things with the quarterback decision and stuff like that. So if he had come out and said, listen, I'm deciding who this quarterback's going to be. I'm going to be watching all these things. We're all going to have some input into it, but ultimately it's my call. I want it to be my call. If he acted like he wanted it to be his call, that would make a big difference to me just in terms of trust. I know.
I agree.
That sounds dumb. It's like, well, who cares, Arcan? But like, if he had just, it's about the perception. And the perception is that he just assumes someone else make that call. And he doesn't really want to have anything to do with it. And he's in charge of the defense. And he'll run that defense. But as far as the QB and the offense, and really the most important part of this team, the thing that made him a 4-13 team last year was this offense. And you'd think the new coach would want to be a little bit more hands-on in improving it. But that's not really his bag. And I think over time, that's become more and more clear.
It's the most important position in sports. Not just in the NFL or on this team. In sports. And the coach. And we hear this all the time. People are like, well, he just got the job. It's his first year on the job. Not really. He's been here a long time as a coach and a player. He's known he's had the job for at least a year. I'm trying to remember who reported this. Was it Bert? Who said he might have known for 2 years that he was the coach in waiting here. So he's had a lot of time to think about stuff, how he wants to build a coaching staff, his philosophies on an offense, on a quarterback, on defense, how he build a team. All these things. He's had a lot of time, a lot of heads up to think about this, wrap his head around it. And it seems like not only, Arcan, is there no clear philosophy, but it seems like he doesn't even want it. Now that it's here, he doesn't want it. They wasted a week earlier in the offseason when they could have started working. He didn't want that. They had mini camp. They did a public service day in the middle of it, which is a great initiative and a great cause. You had to do that in the middle of minicamp? There's a lot of times you could have done that throughout the calendar. Lots of times that wouldn't have interfered on the 3 days you were allowed to have minicamp. Now it's like, all right, there's a quarterback decision. Do you want to make it? Nah, it's not my call. And that just seems odd to me. That's all. So I'd ask you, for anybody who feels good about Jerod Mayo, what do you feel good about? Like, what that he's done do you feel good about? You brought one up earlier that I guess I'd kind of allow for. He's not trying to be Bill.
Right.
That's not really doing anything. That's really the absence of doing something. But
you know that's a guaranteed loser when guys try and do that.
It is, but yeah. I just think coming from the Bill Belichick coaching tree, it's a guaranteed loser. Like I kind of think that's a guaranteed loser, and you're already there. But fine, if you're going to hire someone from the coaching tree, at least he's not trying to be Bill. Fine, I'll allow for that. Anything else? Is there anything else to feel good about with this guy?
Murals are nice. I have no idea. I mean, honestly, there's not like a lot. I don't think that he's necessarily looked like a guy who has no idea what he's doing. You know, that would be worse, like Hackett last year or something. Like, he doesn't look like he's completely clueless.
Does he not?
I don't think he looks completely clueless. I think he looks like someone who's just sort of trying to hold it all together and is not totally sure exactly what that entails. I don't think that he's lost at sea. Like, he doesn't come off like that to me. Maybe to you.
Yeah, he comes across a little bit that way. Now, look, they've looked a little more competent in the preseason, and I put stock in the preseason. And I know they ended up losing that game last week against Philly, but that was threes and fours and guys who aren't going to have a moment in the league outside of the preseason who frittered that game away late. They've looked a little more competent than I would have expected. Now, I don't know if that's because they're putting more into it. It's their first preseason. It's Mayo's first crack at it. What does Nick Sirianni and the Eagles really care about preseason? Carolina, I guess, is first go around with Dave Canales. None of their guys played. So maybe that explains some of it. They have looked a little more competent, and I'm not even talking wins and losses or points or anything, because they haven't scored a lot of points. They've looked a little more competent in the preseason than I would have expected, so some of that's still TBD. Let's see how they look in the final preseason game. What are you looking for? What do you think's at stake in the final preseason game?
I think in terms of certain players and whatever, like the quarterback thing's an obvious one. I think that the wide receiver group, this is a chance for one of many different guys. I mean, there's a lot of guys in that room. Not any who I think are going to be A.J. Brown this year or anything like that, but certainly a lot of bodies. So I think that this is an opportunity for one of them to sort of separate. We asked Curran about it yesterday, and he said that, yeah, you know, there's a couple of guys up at the top, but it's still very much subject to change. That's going to be very important for Drake May going forward, like who his top receivers are, who's going to be out there with him, how much chemistry they develop. So I think that's important. And there's a lot at stake on the offensive line. I think that, it looks like they're going to be kicking on Wenyu back to tackle. Whatever they do on the left side, I think, is going to have big implications going forward here about, you know, who they feel comfortable putting out there on the field against the ones in Cincinnati and everything else. So I think that there's offensively a lot of stakes here that are going to get settled one way or another. I mean, the season's going to start. You're not going to stop it, but you have to figure these things out now.
I agree. It's all – we've talked a lot about the quarterbacks, so I'm not just going to make Sunday about the quarterbacks, but I want to see how they play, obviously. Duh. Beyond that, it all relates to the quarterback. The offensive line, what's the structure there? It seems like they settled on something the last handful of days. Vedarian Lowe is hurt. Maybe it forced him into something. And when you're kicking out to right tackle, good. They're paying him like that. That's where he should play. I'm happy they're doing that. So I'm curious for the look of that, just to know and see what they're going to do. I'd like to see Caden Wallace mix in a little bit more there. Feels like he's fallen off a touch. And the receivers, you underscored them earlier. How much is Pop Douglas out there? What does he look like? Jalen Polk, how elusive is he? He looked elusive in the last game. Does that continue? And Javon Baker, can he catch? Those are things I'd be looking for. This one should go without saying, but it's fair. I don't want anyone injured in the final game. That goes for every team. The Patriots are largely healthy outside of Barmore, right? Like, Barmore is a significant one. I don't mean to just, like, brush that aside. And that was independent of playing in a preseason game. They are largely healthy. You do wonder if at some point they get, like, early in the Commanders game, the
Bourne,
preseason
Bourne's still out, right?
No, but again, I'm saying like this preseason, Bourne got hurt in the middle of last year.
Yeah, sure.
So like I'm saying, guys getting hurt in preseason games, it hasn't really happened unless I'm missing something. Barmore got hurt independent of that. Bourne's been hurt since last year.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, you know, in terms of the games, they've escaped relatively healthy. You do wonder if at some point Mayo just says, guys, we're almost a halftime of our final preseason game, or we're at halftime of our final preseason game. Let's just get out of here healthy. I could see him doing that. And then the second half is really just a free-for-all of guys who won't make the team.
Yeah, that's probably it. I mean, that's usually how these games go. The only thing that I'm sort of kind of in the back of my mind anyway, am thinking is that this isn't a normal week three, end of the preseason type of situation here for this team. This is a team that's still trying to figure out a lot of different things, and I wouldn't be surprised if you see guys out there maybe a little bit later than normal. Okay, I wouldn't be shocked by that.
But why? Why? It's because they passed on so many things earlier in the preseason,
right,
and off season. Like, again, but I'll go back to skipping days in minicamp. I'll go back to waiting a week to get started on your off season program. I'll give you another one. And we all criticize this in real time. Drake May's reps in the first preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what? Why wouldn't you give him more than that? Then you wouldn't feel the need to get more reps in the final preseason game because you could have given him more early. So I kind of think that's their own fault.
Some people think maybe they gave up on him.
Yeah, it's true. Some people do think that.
I don't know who said that. But
many people are saying. Some people are saying. So I look at it and I go, if they're looking at it to get as many reps as they can in the final preseason game, well, they made their own bet on that one. That's your own fault. You had plenty of reps to give out and dole out, and you should have doled them out, and you didn't. So if you get somebody hurt in the second half of this preseason game because you were looking at getting more reps, that's your problem. But largely, I'd say they've escaped pretty healthy this preseason in the games. Barmore is a freak thing. There's nothing you can do about that. Preseason games, playing time, you can't manage that. There's no way you can handle that. Kendrick Bourne, as you said, coming back from an injury. Can't be handled. Largely, and, you know, maybe they're due, but largely they've gotten out of this pretty healthy. That would be a big box to check, but you'd say that about every team, every preseason. 617-779-7937. A reminder, we're brought to you today by your New England Ford dealers. You can make it the best summer ever with Ford by joining the Bronco family or getting the made-for-you New England Edition F-150, the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. Joe Braverman with all the latest here in trending. And Arcan, when we come back, we'll get to Arcan's planning. That's next.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The Red Sox return home to begin a three-game series with the Diamondbacks. Sox come into the day 3.5 games back of both the Royals and the Twins for the second and third American League wildcard spots. You can hear the Hall of Famer Joe Castiglione and Will Fleming with the call from Fenway at 7:10 on the Shaw's at Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Brian Bale will get the start for the Sox opposite Ryan Nelson for Arizona. Rich Keefe will get everything started with the Mass Mutual pregame show at 6:10. Mass Mutual Insurance Planning Investment. Some roster moves announced by the Sox. They have recalled reliever Joely Rodriguez from AAA Worcester to make room. The team has optioned Greg Weissert, and James Paxton was officially transferred to the 60-day injured list. A day after the Mariners fired manager Scott Servais, current manager Dan Nelson announced that he has hired Edgar Martinez as the team's hitting coach. He'll stay in that position for the remainder of the season. Some other Sox news, just forgot to mention that Alex Cora announced that Reese McGuire will be catching in the day portion of the day-night doubleheader against the Red Sox. That means Jansen will become the first player to play for both teams in one game. The Patriots were back on the practice field today in preparation for their preseason finale against the Commanders this Sunday. The final week of the NFL preseason continues tonight. Three games are currently on the slate. The college football season kicks off tomorrow with four games, starting with 10th-ranked Florida State versus Georgia Tech from Dublin, Ireland. That kicks off at noon tomorrow. And the Revolution returned to action for the first time since August 9th. They'll be up north battling CF Montreal tomorrow at 7:30. Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading big bank alternative for families and businesses in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank. Member FDIC and DIF. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
You mentioned that it would be nice to see Drake with the first team offense. What's holding you back from that right now?
Jacoby. You know, right now he's our starting quarterback.
Is there still a chance for Drake to be the week one starter?
I'm sure. You know, Coach said it's open competition. Obviously, we have one more game to go. I'm sure there's a chance. You know, but I think, you know, as you go in, there's still a process of how you bring a rookie quarterback along. You know, so I think that's important to remember as well.
Alex Van Pelt calls Mayo coach, yet somehow he's the one who gets a bigger say in the quarterback. Curran talked about this on TV last night. He's like, yeah. I mean, tip your hat to Alex Van Pelt. He's the guy. It's like, what? Why? Why do I have to tip my cap to that? And why is he the guy? But okay, what's standing in Drake May's way to be the starting quarterback? That would be Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, Alex Van Pelt's familiarity and previous relationship with Jacoby Brissett.
Which is a bad reason.
Mm.
You knew a guy who was the backup when you were in Cleveland and he couldn't win the starting job and he never had a winning record. And just because you know him, he gets to be the starting quarterback when Drake May's right there and he's outplaying the other guy and he's the more talented of the two. Doesn't seem to fit, but hey, that's just me. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. We'll get to Arcan's planning here shortly on Jones. And Arcan on WEEI, we're brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Make it the best summer ever with Ford by joining the Bronco family or getting the made-for-you New England edition F-150, the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. We've talked about Van Pelt. We've talked a lot of Patriots today. You see Jaylen Brown, his video today, Arcan?
I didn't see the whole thing. But I saw a snippet of it that I liked better than the snippet we played yesterday.
You did say this earlier.
Yeah.
So we,
but I still haven't heard the entire thing front to back.
Well, the whole video is like 6 minutes, but there's a whole chunk where they're like talking in the middle of it. So it's not really a 6 minute song. But there's
like November Rain. There's like a break in the middle.
It's like a whole thing with him and who's the other rapper?
ASAP Ferg.
Thank you. So they're like talking in the middle of it.
Uh-huh.
And so, but in the beginning, it's called Just Do It. I was not totally correct in saying there's no shots at Nike. Because the name of it's Just Do It, and there's a piece in the beginning when you're watching the video, and you can see some of it now on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. There's a chunk where he's watching the news, and it's going through all these things, and people are like, oh, my God, everybody's talking. The story everybody's talking about the whole world over, and it's not, you know, Biden dropping out or Trump getting shot. It's Jaylen Brown is left off the Olympic squad, right? The whole world is talking about it, which, you know, sports fans in America, and specifically the Northeast, were talking about it. I don't know if that's the whole world, but I get it. And so that's in the video, and there's little subtle shots at Nike, but nothing significant. Did you see his follow-up tweet today, Arcan?
People be hating or whatever?
Yeah,
I did see that, yes.
Yeah, people, what do you think? People aren't going to hate on this? You think you're going to put this out and people are going to be like, we love this?
I mean,
you like it more today now that you've heard the full thing?
The part I heard, I didn't dislike as much as the part that we played yesterday. I thought the part we played yesterday was very bad, but like, I still haven't heard it from beginning to end. And also, a song, sometimes you got to hear them a few times when they grow on you. But I don't know. Initial reaction was that I didn't like
it. Is it a little wussy? Like, if you're going to come out and call it Just Do It, and you're going to take little shots at Nike in the video, shouldn't some of your lyrics be about Nike?
Yes.
And if you're pissed at Nike, shouldn't you say it?
Or at least, like, you know, sneak disses or something, right?
Something.
Like, yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, it's not really about that.
Like, what are we watching this for and listening to it? It's not the music. That part of it sucks. That's not hating on the low. By the way, Jaylen, that's just hating. It sucks.
It's hating on Broad Street.
Yeah. It's not hating on the low. It just blows. So I don't know what you want me to say, but like it seems a little bit wussy, honestly. And the whole thing with Nike has been wussy with him. He wants.
If we can run it back,
this is bad.
I'm
telling you.
I think
everything in 98 like Mile was better than this. I think little like raps that we've done here and there are Ken
mm-hmm.
and like
Tom
you know,
Brady area codes.
Yeah. Mock songs that we've done here and there. I think they've pretty much all been better than this. This is awful.
The real G Willikers, definitely better than this.
Smokes this.
Yes.
Smokes this. So when it comes to like hating on, we're not hating on the low, it's just bad. And he's kind of a wuss about it. He's kind of been a wuss about the whole thing with Nike. Like, ooh, he called him out, but he won't go right at him. And on top of that, what frustrates me, I don't think he's got much material on Nike.
Mm.
Like, he keeps blaming Nike and pointing the finger at Nike, but he won't really go at him and he won't really supply anything. I don't think he has much. And that's been my theory all along. I don't think it's Nike that kept you off the team. I think it's the other guys who don't like you, the other players in the league who don't like you, who might be Nike athletes. I think that's why you're not on the team. Go ahead and if you're going to go at Nike, go at Nike. Don't just make the song title Just Do It and then not mention them for 6 minutes.
Also, Jason Tatum, Nike athlete, got benched multiple times. So I don't think Nike has this. They're not like pulling the strings like the Godfather here. I don't necessarily think. Also, with Brown and the whole idea of like getting left off the Olympic team and how that was, you know, this big political thing. There was a lot of people who agreed with him. You know, there's a lot of people who were like, yeah, you're right, Jaylen. Like, this is BS. You should be there. I think a lot of us even said he should be on the team. Not necessarily that it was Nike keeping him off, but that was something that he had momentum behind it, right? There's a lot of people who were like, yeah, this is wrong. It shouldn't be like this. You should be on that team.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this is kind of like, I don't know. I don't really know what this is. Like, this is a song that seems like it's a Nike diss track, but then it's more of a love song. And it's like, okay, like, I'm just happy he didn't make a song with Kanye West. Like, really? Like, that would have been the worst thing.
Okay, but wouldn't that have been a better song? Yes.
I mean, the beat would have been better.
Thank you. Yeah. Wouldn't that have been a better song?
Probably.
He's a lunatic.
Kanye
but, like,
comes on and starts rapping. Maybe not, though.
Well,
Kind of, have you heard him lately?
I mean, no, like, well, that's what I'm saying. But yeah. but is he really rapping lately? I thought he wasn't really rapping lately.
So 2 years ago on Pusha T's album, there's this great song called Rock and Roll with Kid Cudi on the chorus, and it's this great song for two verses. And then the third verse, Kanye comes on and starts rapping about his divorce. And it's like, okay, you ruined the song. You know, so that's sort of where I'm at with Kanye when he raps. Like, I don't, and also he's completely deranged now.
He ruined
a good song. I cut it off before we get to that verse.
Who is it again?
Pusha T.
And who?
Kid Cudi.
Okay.
And Cudi's on the chorus, and Kanye does the third verse. It's a very good song, and Kanye produced it, but his verse just ruins it for me.
In my style, I'll get to it a few years too late, and I'll see if I
You're
like
already
it.
A few years
yeah, too yeah, late. That's what I'm saying. I'll get to it a few, that's what I'm saying. It's, yeah. I'm already a few years too late. I'll give it a listen, and I'll give my my thoughts much later on it. Let's go to Charlie on the Cape. Go ahead, Charlie.
Hey, guys. I think this is not a really unique take, but if I'm Gerard Mayo, I think whoever I start is going to be a tackling dummy and be injured by the fourth week. And wouldn't I want that to be Jacoby, and then here comes our hero, Drake. Then Drake getting smoked and then being replaced by Jacoby.
I guess. I just, you know, what are you, Jaylen Brown going at Nike? Like, what are you so afraid of? Like, what are you so scared of? And so, I don't know, you should be able to play a big, strong, athletic kid. I think he has a better chance, I've said this a million times, of surviving a bad offensive line than Jacoby Brissett. But here's the real question. This to me is the real question. If they don't think Drake May's ready, in that scenario that the caller just laid out, Jacoby Brissett gets destroyed and injured week three. If they don't think he's ready, they shouldn't play him, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if they're going to stick to their guns, they wouldn't play Drake May in that scenario. Who do they play?
Joe Milton. I don't know. You know, like,
this is why I think that's a silly plan. And I think the whole thing with Drake May is silly. If you don't think he's ready and Jacoby Brissett gets hurt, well, then you can't play Drake May, right? But I think they would in that scenario. So they're comfortable playing him before they think he's ready. Ipso facto, they should play him week one. I mean,
yeah.
That's the logic that I come up with. It's like, if you're really not going to play him until he's ready, you can't play him if Jacoby Brissett gets hurt. But then who would you play instead? Milton?
Honestly, it's probably
Zappy.
Zappy's probably the answer.
A guy who's not on the team, like Ryan Tannehill's name gets kicked around?
Yeah.
I don't like any, like, I don't want any of those
you
things.
You kick Zappy to the practice squad, he's probably not going to get claimed. If Brissett gets hurt and they're insistent on not playing May, probably going to be Zappy.
If you really want to have a Zappy conversation, the conversation should be Zappy v. Brissett, who starts week one, if you're really not playing Drake May. And I'm okay with having that conversation. That might be a conversation. But, no, May should play over both of them, and May should play over Brissett. And anything else is just nonsense. Oh, we're afraid he'll get hurt. Oh, well, wait till Jacoby Brissett gets hurt and plays him. Well, then again, that flies in the face of the idea of is Drake May ready or not? Because you can't control when Brissett gets hurt. He might get hurt week one. Is May all of a sudden ready then? Probably not. And you'd be comfortable playing him? That's why, to me, I don't worry about any of that. You don't think he's ready? I don't care. Lean into it. That's what the Chargers did with Justin Herbert. They threw him out before they thought he was ready. They were wrong. That's what the Bills did with Josh Allen. They threw him out before they thought he was ready. They were wrong. So the Patriots might be wrong about Drake May. He might be ready.
Yeah. By the way, before we get to our cansplaining, have you noticed a bunch of players are getting suspended for the personal conduct policy today?
I saw Zay Flowers is suspended
Zay
for
Flowers,
5 games.
Alaric Jackson, and now J.C. Jackson, who's
you
not even
Zay
on a
Jones.
Team.
What did I say?
You said Zay Flowers.
I'm sorry.
Zay Jones. Yeah, right.
I'm sorry.
Jones.
Well, let me walk that back, because if you got fantasy drafts coming up, Zay Flowers is not suspended.
No.
So I didn't mean to put that out there. You're Zay Jones is 100% what I meant.
Zay Jones, Alaric Jackson, and J.C. Jackson, who's a free agent, have all been suspended to start the year for the personal conduct policy. I don't know if they were all out doing something bad together or what. But.
Well, no. Zay Jones, if you remember, had some sort of, I thought the charges were dropped. He had some sort of domestic incident last year.
Did he? Okay, I didn't know that.
But I thought those kind of fell by the wayside. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's not connected to this. How are they suspending all these guys and Rashee Rice isn't suspended yet?
It's a good question.
Like, again, I'm looking at this through a fantasy football prism, but, like, how do you not have an answer on Rashee Rice? If you're going into your draft, how do you not have an answer? 617-779-7937. More of your feedback coming up. Let's get to our cansplaining.
All right, let's get to our.
Always interesting when Arcan decides to do
it. It is interesting when he decides to do it.
I got
to
tell you, I love Hot Pot.
Sorry, Mego couldn't do the show today. So instead, you'll hear what Arcan has to say. Mego's busy. Maybe she is on a plane. That's okay, because it's time for Arcan's plane. Ain't.
Oh, baby. All right, it's time for Arcansplaining. Again, big shout-outs to Ryan Garvin on that great intro, remix of the Doug Funny theme song there, which I forget how I became Doug Funny. How did I become Doug Funny?
I think the Twitch chat.
Is that why?
I believe. I don't remember why, but I think they dubbed you Doug Funny, and okay. we found it amusing, and we leaned into it.
My brother's name's Doug, so that show was played in my house a lot growing up. But anyway, that's not what we're talking about here today on Arcansplaining. We're talking about the number one story, maybe in local media, maybe in national media. I'm not talking about the changes here at WEEI, although that's a big story, obviously. It's covered by a lot of different outlets. I'm talking... not about the Democratic National Convention last night or anything you saw, the Beyonce not showing up or any of that stuff. There's a lot of news going on.
These all pale in comparison.
They all pale in comparison to the walking, talking, betting fight that's been going on here for the past 24 hours or so between Lucy Burch, who we all know, who is with BetQL, which is a company associated with Odyssey or owned by Odyssey, I guess, and Taylor Mathis, who is currently, like J.C. Jackson, kind of a free agent, but who's been doing these videos where she walks around and gives betting advice.
That might be the meanest thing anybody said to her. Out of all the mean things she apparently has heard on social media, she's now J.C. Jackson.
In the sense that she's a free agent. Not in any other sense. I don't know what you mean by that. But yeah, that's what happened. Now,
I mean, J.C. Jackson sucks, that's all.
If you're new to this feud, then it all happened yesterday through Barstool Sports, actually, is how it started. Uh-huh. Portnoy was chastising Rico Bosco. Is that his name? I don't know the Barstool cast of characters as well. Yeah, Rico Bosco is his name.
I've seen him doing walking bets rather in the last 24 hours. Yes, Rico Bosco.
Okay,
yes.
So he had some show or whatever and it wasn't doing great, and Portnoy was yelling at him saying, hey, you got to get your views up. And Taylor Mathis, who has now been doing these walking and talking videos where she gives out bets, says, my walking, talking bet videos have been doing great. And Lucy says, well, you stole them from me. And if you don't know, if you don't follow Lucy Burge on Twitter or Instagram, she puts these things out every day. I mean, she is out there walking around Boston, walking around. I think it's the South End where you usually see her. She's out there every day.
You're a consumer.
Of course. You can't ignore. I mean, they're every single day. I mean, she's about as consistent as you can get.
I'm not saying you should or shouldn't, but you absolutely could ignore them. What do you mean you can't?
Well, I can't. anyway, so you know, I'm sitting there and I see him. I see him all the time. I see your video. Sometimes she does like two or three a day. So like every day, there's a video of Lucy, and they're all basically the same. She starts out, she goes, "Hello, everybody," and then she goes, "Here's my outfit," and sort of shows the
check the fit.
Shows everybody the fit. If you're watching on Twitch, you can see it right now.
Brian's got a pretty solid recap of how that goes. Yep,
she's got you know, these outfits. She's a very snappy dresser. And she walks down the street and gives bets. You know, she gives like picks on baseball. She gives home run bets, you know, whatever. And it's a good formula. It's working well for her. It's really raised her profile. And a lot of people know about her, including Taylor Mathis, who is from Illinois. I don't know much about her background. I think that she's had, you know, previous jobs in media, but I don't know. She doesn't have one right now, I don't think. She has a podcast and has been doing these videos. And she started doing the same thing. It's her walking down the, you know, walking down the street or walking down the road or whatever.
Making some picks.
Making some picks.
This is her if you're watching on Twitch.tv.
If you're on Twitch, this is what Taylor Mathis's videos look like. It's not exactly the same, but it's extremely similar.
Oh,
and Lucy.
There's something different.
Well, there's something different, yes. Yeah. I don't, you know. Lucy has brown hair. Taylor's more of a dirty blonde.
That's it.
The big difference, I'd say. But yeah. So this became a thing. Now, I didn't know this, but in the past, Mathis has said, you know, I'm doing my walking bets, but Lucy's the originator. She's the one who started it all. You know, all props to her. She's the queen of walking, talking bets.
She's been doing that.
There's old tweets of her saying that.
Oh, so she's very appreciative of the, maybe this would be offensive, but the OG. I mean, she's
the OG.
You don't want to be called old, I'm sure, in the walking bets game, but the OG, the originator.
OG is original. It's not old, but right. And so she's given it up to Lucy in that sense, but Lucy just wasn't happy. She said, you know what? I'm tired of this girl ripping me off. I'm tired of her walking, you know, doing the exact same thing that I've been doing all this time. I'm going to say something about it. And she put it out on Twitter. And now let me tell you, this story, this feud has gone supernova. I was reading about it in the New York Post today.
Mm-hmm.
They had a full article on it, on these two walking, talking betters and how one thinks that it's my thing and the other thinks it's my thing.
Let me tell you, this story does not translate well to print. But yes, I understand. Yes, so they've covered it thoroughly.
I didn't like read it in the paper. I saw it on the digital version, which included some
front
clips.
Front page of the New York Times.
Right.
extra, read all about it.
This is how I look at it.
Yeah, I'm curious. Yes, how do you look at it?
Both of these women. And I think they're both delightful. Both of these women owe their success to one person, Lou Merlone.
Oh, you think he's ripped off Walk the Dog?
Lou Merlone's Walk the Dog videos It wasn't about bets.
Yeah.
But if you want to talk about a guy walking down the street giving takes, or a person walking down the street giving takes.
Sure.
Lou kind of invented that.
Yeah.
All right. I think Lou was basically he's the first one I ever saw do it.
It was a hot boy walk.
Yeah.
A little bit of that. Yeah.
He's got the dog with him. He's got the leash. Yeah. He's got the sunglasses.
A little bit of,
you know?
Yeah. He's got the fit going.
Yeah.
A little bit of a jiggle.
Yeah. And not as much as some of these other ones, but he's definitely got that going on. Now,
sure.
This has also launched many imitators in the last 24 hours. That Rico Bosco guy did one. There's a guy in a wheelchair who was wheeling, doing wheeling bets, which I thought was good.
Yeah, Ted Sellers, yeah.
There was this other guy, another gentleman with large, large man boobs, and that's me saying that. And you know what I'm working with here. This guy's walking down the street, and they're all over the place. Like, that was something.
I haven't seen that one.
If you don't know, let's get a little bit of one of Lucy's videos. This is what they sound like if you haven't heard it before. Here's one of Lucy's walk and talk bet videos.
This snake or lizard, alligator, crocodile. No, I think it's snake. I believe it's snake, but it's whatever you want it to be. But the bets today are these. Juan Soto, over 1.5 total bases.
You know, I never realized this, but, like, she really whispers. Like, it's like she doesn't want to bother people.
No, she's walking.
Yeah, she's walking and talking.
She's out of breath. It's hot in the city.
Mm-hmm. And also, if you're walking down the street yelling at your phone, like, you look like a lunatic.
Yeah, so might be take two or three. I don't mean to say that, you know, she doesn't hit it on the first, her first video try there. But, you know, by the second or third take, maybe you're a little out of breath.
Yeah, and she's also done so many of these that she's really perfected it, I'd say, at this point. Like, she sees what works and what doesn't work, and she's got her whole thing, and she, you know, it's
a science to it.
Yeah, it's like muscle memory at this point with her, you know? Like, she just knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
The backlash against Mathis now, that prompted her to make a video basically saying, guys, I was just trying to do a little betting video. I didn't really think it would be such a big deal.
It was more unhinged than that.
It was a little dramatic. Yeah. Anyway, here's a little snippet of that. Here's Taylor Mathis.
I'm just going to come on here and say that, like, I never claimed that the walking bets was my thing. It's true. Like, trying not to get super upset about this whole thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
She did get upset about it, and it said in the video I had to stop recording because I got emotional, and, you know, we've all been there, so I understand that, but yeah.
To me, that's, it's, you know, if this guy, I get, you know, you can't bully anyone, you can't say anything mean to anyone these days, like, I get it, it's the era we live in, I understand, it's foolish, but I understand, but she wasn't bullying, it wasn't that mean, it was just, hey, you copied my thing, which she clearly did.
Mm-hmm.
What are you getting so upset about? Like, how's that such a bad thing?
And it's not like Lucy invented walking and talking, as I stated already. Lou Maloney did that. But it was pretty clear that, you know, this whole thing, she's giving out bets, she's walking, you know, like, and she's on video doing it at the same time. Like, that's a very...
Also, I'd imagine most of the comments in those are, maybe they're not the greatest comments in the world, but they're probably... positive in some way. Maybe a little too positive and a little too graphic. But I'd imagine normally the videos you put out are well received, is how I would put that.
Definitely.
And so to get one little bad response and you melt down like that, that's rough.
Yeah.
I would say that's
Mr.
a rough
positivity,
look.
That's me.
That's right, Lou.
It's a rough look.
They both these ladies owe it to Lou Maloney. It seems like Mathis took a break from doing the walk and talk, but that break didn't last long.
Oh, she's back.
Because she's got another one out today. And I think she put out another one last night, like after this whole thing boiled over. Lucy's obviously still cranking out her videos. So I don't exactly know what the next step is here. Maybe some sort of Zoolander walk-off situation.
That's a good one.
That could be it. Maybe they do a video where they're walking together.
Hey, here's an idea. Who does better on the bets? Like, Matt, just who's hitting their bets?
I gotta be honest with you, I have no idea.
I mean, look, as somebody who gets bets wrong all the time, this isn't even a critique. They probably have better picks than me, for all I know. But I don't know, like, who wins at the end of the day? I don't know, maybe somebody who hits on more bets.
Yeah.
Maybe that. Did the Soto over 1.5 total bases
hit? I feel like that's not the way to resolve this.
Why?
Just because it's not.
Where are they? How else are they going to resolve it?
Some other way. I don't know. They could wrestle each other or something. I have no idea.
If you think that wasn't brought up in the Twitch chat 10 minutes ago, I don't even know what to tell you. These heathens. That was suggested a long time ago in the Twitch chat. Yeah,
maybe a diss track, a Jalen Brown-esque diss track.
They could
do diss tracks to each other.
What's ASAP Ferg up to?
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he'd be willing to get in the booth with one or both of them. I don't know. But I do think that there needs to be some sort of resolution here. You can't just have this thing hanging out in the air. You know, like something must be done. I got my money on Lucy, I'll tell you that.
It's been a lot hanging out in the air. But yeah, that's true. Okay, so that's Arkansplaining. here on Jones and Arcan today on WEEI. Rich Keefe comes your way at the top of the hour. He gets the game ready for the Red Sox and the Diamondbacks here on WEEI. We'll wrap things up next.
How much of a learning curve has it been for everyone just basically bringing in the game plan aspect of things, just with working on the install?
I wouldn't say, you know, it's so much of a learning curve. I would say initially we were focused on NEP and whatever phase of the game we're talking about, it was all about us. Now you start to focus on another team and their personnel. Once again, we don't know who's going to play over there, but it doesn't matter. It was more the exercise of going through who are their go-to players offensively, defensively, and special teams, and how do we stop them. These are the things that that we need to be careful of, and these are things we want to try to exploit. So it's you know, most teams, they talk about, you know, post-mortem, like they end up going and, you know, seeing what the game, you know, what happened in the game. To me, it's about the pre-mortem. Like, how do we prevent ourselves from losing the game? And, you know, you can't win until you stop from losing.
I'll tell you, if you were watching on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, there's a little pre-mortem and then post-mortem going on, I'm sure. Now, what did Brian just post? That was Arcan. Look at this. Arcan's still image from Fenway alongside one of these walk and talk sports betting videos. What are they calling them? Walking bets?
Walking bets, yeah.
Yeah, one of these.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Taylor Mathis? Taylor Mathis.
Mm-hmm. On the right, by the way, in case you couldn't tell.
Yeah. Now the video is Taylor Mathis. The still shot is Arcan. The video on the right is Taylor Mathis.
That's Taylor's video from today, by the way. It's from like 25 minutes ago.
This is from today?
Yeah. That's her video from today.
Oh, this is the new one.
Yeah.
Okay,
so she's not going anywhere, okay? Despite what you may have saw yesterday, seemed like there was a little bit of a breakdown, but she's back. She's back on the scene.
She needed a day.
Mm-hmm.
And so, okay, well, good to see her. Good to see her back in the Walking Bets game. It's not for the faint of heart.
No.
It's not.
It's really not.
It's competitive out there.
It's exercise, which I'm not doing. You know? Cardio, yeah, well, please. Well, what are you talking about?
This is assuming you're getting it right on the first take. Like, mm-hmm. how many times have you tried to film a video, Arcan, and you're like, man, start it again. How many times have we done, like, you know, reads off the air here and there? I'm like, Joe, run that one back. Let's do it again. So, like, now you got to do this. You're walking. You're talking. This is...
I'd be, like, sweating. It'd be awful.
This is me alongside the video, which, again, I'm on the left. She's on the right. So there you go. That was Gerard Mayo, who you heard there. Normally, we do Bet Roulette at this time. It'd be brought to you by Cars for Kids. You can donate your car. Donate today. Your car will be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Let's see. We got a lot of text here. Jones thirst trap walks coming soon? ? 37937. I really think Brian just covered that, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, maybe. It's not a bad idea. I also enjoyed this one.
Everyone's doing the parody walks now, though, so that's going to get played out soon.
I think we're already there. The Rico Bosco one, was he the original one kind of ripping it off? The Ted Sellers one I was amused by that I saw. But yeah, no, I think those have... we're probably teetering on jumping the shark there. I also like this one. 37937. Arcan, you became Doug Funny the minute you were born. Look at yourself in the mirror.
Okay.
So there you go. That's where it came from. You look like Doug Funny.
Okay.
Boom, roasted.
Fair.
Got you there.
Doug Funny pulled Patty Mayonnaise, so I don't know why that's some insult. You know? It'd be worse if I was Skeeter.
Yeah, it's good.
Or Roger.
Yeah.
You know, like that. Roger had green skin and weird red hair. He was like Macklemore. You know?
It's not his fault. I don't know why I have to go there. But yeah, so he was Macklemore looking. The hair.
Except with right. The skin and the hair color was obviously different, but very similar in size and stature and sort of vibe in general, too, I'd say.
Somebody says, I wonder if Greg bounces like that on his old man walks. No chance. Jogging with Jones.
You think he bounces more than that in his old man walks, is what you're saying?
Yeah, no, I think it's something.
I remember I saw a video of Hillman doing a cannonball in his pool last summer. There's some jiggling going on.
You know what?
I saw that
video too. I feel like he jumped into a pool in not a normal way.
No, it was a cannonball, but he didn't bring his knees up.
That's what
his knees were like down, and he sort of grabbed his like feet, you know, like it was not a natural cannonball. And you can also go with the jackknife too, where you just do the one leg.
Yeah,
but his was like this whole new thing. Yeah, it was like he invented a new jump.
It was a deer in headlights.
Kind of, yeah.
That's what it was. And that one you can't redo. You can redo some of these walking bets videos. You can't redo that one.
Mm-mm.
It's like, once you're in the air and once you're jumping in the pool, there's no everybody's gonna know.
Be funny if he like gives out bets while he's like jumping in. I think Paige is gonna lose my five.
Yeah, there's got to be.
Bets on to the money line.
Yeah, there's got to be ways to elevate this thing, Arcan. There's got to be ways to do it. That's
cannonball
not a bad one.
Bets.
Greg Hill making cannonball bets into his pool. Where was he? Nantucket or whatever?
Yeah.
Leaping into his pool, just screaming out a quick bet. That's not a bad way to do it.
Okay. Well, I'm copywriting that. And that's going to be...
Trademark that.
Yeah. I'm putting that... I'm going to the patent office right after the show.
Get that on Mr. Wonderful and Mark Cuban's radar.
Don't steal that at 10 a.m.
You know what? We're going to be out there before you are, Ken. It might be.
That's true.
A full day before, speaking of which.
By the way, this is our last show together.
Yes.
So I want to say before we sign off here that you and I have worked together going on 6-7 years now.
Correct.
And it's been professionally some of the best years I've had. And I've learned a lot from you. And I think you're going to be great 10 to 2. I think you and Keith are going to be fantastic. Together. I was a big fan of that show. You guys had it night before I joined it, and I know this is like the third time that we've been broken up here, or at least attempted to, and I just want to say working with you has been really, really great, and good luck. Good luck at 10
o'clock.
Well,
no, I appreciate the kind words, and I feel the same way. You know, we had a good thing going, but you know what? There's some change. It's radio. It's media.
Yep.
Happens. Hasn't been the first time, certainly to you, Arcan. Not the first time in my career either. And so new things, new beginnings. On Monday for Keith and myself, we'll be at 10. I'll be listening to you and Andy Hart.
See you at the crossover.
Tuesday. Yeah, we'll get a daily crossover going. That'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about this. Andy Hart's name, and I'm not sure all of them are for the radio, but Andy Hart's name really does lend itself well to, like, bit ideas.
I've got a bunch
benchmark
of
ideas. Right now. Now, again, I'm not sure how many the FCC would approve of. But there's
the
quite
best,
a few.
The best ones, none of them. Like the ones at the top of my list but will not fly.
Let me tell you.
I'll figure it out.
The name lends itself. Wow, that occurred to me in the last, I don't know, 24 to 48 hours. I'm like, boy, the names you could come up with Hart. It really does lend itself well.
It does.
And yes, Hart Cam will be taken.
It's a good name for a show.
Yeah.
It's a good name for a show. So, Arcan, I appreciate it. Good work here. Joe Braverman all week. Not an easy week to be here. And so good job being a professional all week long. You can dial up Rich Keefe, 617-779-7937, the final Rich Keefe program at night. Again, we'll be back on Monday at 10 here on WEEI.
That's the pumpkin market.
The greatest gift when we
I don't
for
know
me.
This song.
And the card inside would say, thank you for being a friend.
Excuse me.
Having some ice cream with Jose Iglesias?
Yeah.
We had tequila.
It is. Excuse me.
Tequila.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.